So I stand before you this morning in the fear of God, and I recognize that I am a young man. I'm younger than a lot of you here, and I take that humbly. But this morning, I want us to think about what we surround ourselves with. We live in a world today that is full of information. We have more information that is available to us faster than I think any generation before us. Anything we want to know or think we know, or we can get someone to we can get someone to agree with us, is only a few clicks away. And not only can we reach any information we want, we are bombarded with information. It is constantly coming to us. Some to our aid and some to our hindrance. But in this abundance of information, in this abundance of possibilities, the abundance of solutions to problems we have or presume to have, we need to exercise extreme wisdom. Many times in our simple understanding, we mix up wisdom and knowledge. We think it's the same thing. Just having knowledge on the subject does not guarantee wisdom. Wisdom is sorting out and discerning how to apply. Wisdom is developed over time. Things happen differently than the way we may anticipate, and time helps to shape someone's insight. We can have a perfect plan of knowledge, and we can look and understand and think we have this way it's going to work. But wisdom helps us see that, you know, in this particular case, it just might be a little different than what would be a cookie cutter answer. To discern the truth in vast amounts of information, to dissect it and to apply it where it fits, take wisdom. Wisdom shows us that different issues require different applications of the same principle. Showing mercy to a small offense may mean a warning, whereas showing mercy to a gross sinner may mean excommunication, simply so they understand the truth of what the facts are. So this morning, I want you to invite you to open your Bibles with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, I want to begin reading in verse 13. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envyings and strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The title of the message this morning I've chosen is, Who is a Wise Man? Who is a wise man among you and endued with knowledge? This is something that we as men, as we as people, need to apply and strive towards. And I want to look at verse 17 in particular and look at the parts of wisdom that it has broken out in that verse. It talks about wisdom that is pure, is peaceable, is gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So many times in life we want to get caught up with wisdom. And we want wisdom, we want understanding. We think, you know, it becomes back to ourselves. Well, I think I got this figured out. But in life, I think it's important that we look at this verse and we unpack it and think about what true wisdom is. So point number one, I want to look at pure wisdom. What is pure wisdom? Can we as man truly understand what pure wisdom is? Can we drink from the fountain that is pure wisdom? Psalms 111 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." Pure wisdom that is from above will recognize a proper alignment between man and God. We recognize that God is in the perfect control of the universe and is in perfect control of things, and things are not done by chance, but are divinely orchestrated, that are working out the will of God. That is pure wisdom. When we can understand that there's things sometimes that will be different, But it'll take wisdom will sort that out. Pure wisdom recognizes and will accept God and His Word as the final authority for all of life's problems. Pure wisdom is wisdom that fears God, because it said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And good understanding have all that do His commandments. So with pure wisdom, we will do things that is counterculture. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, let's just turn there. Matthew chapter 5. This is words of Jesus. He teaches us. In chapter 5, verse 38. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn unto him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give them that asketh of thee, and from that with borrow of thee, turn not thou away. And then dropping down this verse, chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of men. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. But when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do. In the synagogue and in the streets they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thou alms, let not the left hand know what the right hand doeth, that alms may be in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So pure wisdom will take the words of Jesus, apply it to our lives, and live that way. It will make a difference, because it says the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding to have to do His commandments. You know, in the world we live in, what we just read makes no sense. Why would you, the saying is, and I've used it myself sometimes, and I think about it, actually it's not Christian. That is, hurt me once, shame on you. Hurt me twice, shame on me. That's not what Jesus teaches here. This is counterculture, but this is wisdom. And then it says in the second part, in chapter 6, it says, you give things not to be seen of men. And now why in the world would I go to my work and work hard and give something away and not have my name attached to it? Because it's something we did. You know, this is me. But pure wisdom lays that down and says, we listen to what God says. The world calls these commandments from Jesus foolishness, but Jesus calls it Christianity. And it's only when we have a proper fear of God, an understanding of pure wisdom, that we can follow the teachings of Jesus. And it can be into our life, and the fruit that it bears from that will be of benefit to other people. The other thing it says, number two, it says it's peaceable wisdom. In 1 Peter 3, 1 Peter 3, verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye shall inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. If peaceable wisdom, we will seek peace and pursue it. And when we seek peace and pursue it, there will be times we hold our tongue, even when there's times we really want to say something. That's true wisdom. It's discerning. So many times we read through the Acts. I think about different times in Sunday school. We read through Acts, and Paul just stood up and said it and laid it out the way it was. And there is a time that it is the right thing to do. But with pure wisdom and peaceable wisdom will help us discern when the time is to lay it out and when the time is to hold the cards. And just leave time work things out. We will refrain. We will refrain for the sake of peace. We don't flaunt our understanding in an attempt to bring glory back to ourselves. In Proverbs chapter 15, it's 15 verse 18, it says, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." In Proverbs 26 verse 17 says, "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife not belonging to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears." We need wisdom. What do we do with those? What do we do with what's around us? We just leave it lay. If we have peaceable wisdom, wisdom will help us. Wisdom will keep us slow to wrath, and recognize it's not about me. That I will. I don't have to fix this situation right now. It'll be okay. We probably didn't get here overnight. We're probably not going to leave here overnight. It's just, and in that, we will not become agitated with all the small things in life that I don't like. I think about this sometimes with my children. They tell me that you're just making me mad. And with children, we expect them to mature. Because my answer to that usually is they're doing a great job. And that's probably carnal man coming out. But whenever we as adults get to that point in life where I let everything that my brother does to me just really work on me, is that my brother's problem or is that my problem? It's my problem. Because wisdom helps me level that out. And I can see that, we can be like Isaac. We can be like Isaac in the wells, and we can move away, either we can move away from the contentious situation, or we can just let Isaac have a well in our backyard. It's okay, in our neighborhood, it's okay. We seek peace, and we pursue it. Wisdom that is peaceable seeks to avoid strife. We don't get in the fray. We don't get to pick up, attempt to get in the middle of a fight and pick sides. That's not peaceable wisdom. If we're going to be a wise man, we're going to step back and just let it in God's hands, if that's the thing to do then. But it takes wisdom to discern when we step back and let it lay, or when we actually need to help fix something. That's where wisdom comes in. But when there is a time to work with things, it brings into verse number 3. It says it's also wisdom that is gentle. And gentle wisdom, the word gentle there means in moderation and patient. It's gentle. And I think about sometimes, can we as men be gentle? You know, we talked about the word gentleman would be interesting if we could actually apply it. Can we just be gentle? We as men sometimes get so wrapped up in business or people around us who appear successful. Financial gurus or advisors of this world are not gentlemen. I'm just going to put that on the table right up front. That if you look and listen to those who have, if we go for our wisdom to those who have been in the world around us, and we build our life from them, they were not built. Their lives are not gentle lives. They have fought and clawed and pushed and shoved their way to where they were. And that is not our role model. We need to be men of understanding that wisdom from God is not instantaneous. It takes time. It takes time for it to grow. You look at the big wheelers of the world. And they want to teach instant success. They want to teach that instant wisdom can be instantaneous. But first, James 1, verses 2 to 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may perfect and entire, wanting nothing." We allow things in life to work out, and we allow time to work in our lives, that wisdom will come. The wisdom of a young person versus the wisdom of an older person is two different things. And we accept that for what it is. Too many times we are jumping and wondering why things aren't happening fast enough. But wisdom is gentle and patient. And we give time for things to grow. We let God work things out in His perfect timing. God has a time and a place for all things. Possibly the bad or unhandy situation is teaching me something that I would not have learned any other way. So wisdom that we gain from a gentle standpoint, we can allow there to be backsets in our lives. We can allow there to be reverses. And it's not all wrong. And we can look to the wisdom of the world and they say, well, if you would just do it this way, it would fix all the problems. Well, would it or wouldn't it? I don't know. But if we're trying to find insight to jump around the work God wants to work in our lives, we're gonna end up with worldly wisdom and not wisdom from God. Wisdom seeks a balance to allow God and His time to work in the lives of others and also to protect ourselves from falsehoods. There is wisdom that is gentle. Gentle wisdom will be able to discern between when to make a move and when not to make a move. If you look back, turn with me to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 to 9. He spake a parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereof, and found none. Then he said to the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he, answering to him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. And compare that with Romans chapter 16, verses 18 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So gentle wisdom will help us discern when to use which application. When do we look at a tree and we say, give us another year. We're going to dig around it and we're going to try to help this tree bear fruit. Or when do we look at the situation and from Romans chapter 16, where we mark those who are in opposition of the gospel, and we just avoid them. It takes wisdom to discern that. Which way is the tree leaning? How is it going to go? But a gentle wisdom will not jump at the first move to cut something down. But when time moves on, it will also recognize that there does come to be a time when I need to protect myself and those around me from falsehoods, or it will drag me down also. So we have wisdom that is pure and peaceable and gentle. But the next mark of a wise man, it says, easy to be entreated. So turn with me to Proverbs. I'll start in chapter 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 16c has that a wise man is not wise in his own conceits. And in this, I also want to understand that it says, be not wise in your own conceits. And I think about how many times we can allow others to speak into my life. I just want to go through Proverbs here and pick out some verses here that we can see this. A wise man recognizes his own wisdom is not much because he sees how much he doesn't know. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 8 and 9 says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Proverbs 15, verse 12, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. In Proverbs 17, verse 10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes unto a fool. Now these proverbs or sayings were written by Solomon, a man who was said of God was a very wise man, a man who was wiser than, because that's what he asked of God. He asked that he needed a wisdom to guide the people. He knew that he was tasked with a task that was greater than himself. And in many of these, he had a great understanding of many things. This is some of the stuff he said. He said, a wise man will take rebuke. So a lot of this, some of these things compare it to a scorner. And I had a conversation with a man one time, and I was struggling with different things, trying to find the right way of life. And he said, if you rebuke a person and they scorn you, it says more about them than what it says about you. And I thought that was interesting. Because so many times whenever there's something we need to say to somebody, we're always scared. Like, well, I mean, how are they going to take this off of me? Who am I? Who am I to say this? And it says here that, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. So, if people know me as someone they can't talk to, according to Proverbs, it's a scorner, not a wise man. It said, 15 verse 12, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. And neither will he even seek out and try to find where the fault may be. It just, I don't want to hear it. Who am I? It says in James chapter 3, it says, easy to be entreated. A wise man will be approachable. Easy means simple, without effort. We know what's easy. And in our own minds, we can pretty much soon classify in our minds who is easy and who is difficult to be entreated. So a wise person will be easy to be entreated. They open themselves up. That what because I understand what I understand, I also know there's so much more I don't know. So tell me, where are we at? Whenever someone's easy to be entreated, they stay on subject. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. So how many times, whenever a situation arises, that suddenly I don't like where I am, and I begin to look around and say, yeah, but, I mean, this person does this, and this person does this, and this person does this. Well, that might be true, but that's off subject. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of that number. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, is not wise. Let's take the standard of wisdom. Let's take the standard of the wisdom of the Bible. Look at it. Understand it. Open it up and dissect it. And then apply our lives to that standard. Because if we build our lives and our full standard off someone else, well, I know how much I move. I know how many times I have it wrong. Or there's some error that needs to be corrected and directed. So don't go by that. Let's stay with the truth. Easy to be entreated will receive counsel in any form that it comes. It might be a full disrespectful blast from a rebellious person. Or possibly something blunt and unfiltered. So many times I think about when I work with people around me that they will just give you the raw, unadulterated truth. And I think about how many times that as Christians or as Mennonites or as people, we want to protect people. So we try to polish it in a way that makes it more digestible. And I think that's good. But I worked with people already that it was a man, he's dead and gone now. He's a man, he lived a very sad life. But he just told me exactly how he felt. And we got done and I laughed a little bit and I said, all right. I said, is there anything else you want to talk about? Well, he couldn't think of anything then. I said, all right, well, when you want to, we can keep talking. And I think about sometimes, and I looked at him, and I don't know if he drank too much, and he seemed to be slightly altered. But, sometimes our children do the same thing. Our children say, Dad, this is ridiculous. Why are you doing that? It's like, oh, we complicate things. But our children sometimes can have wisdom that we don't have. Like, Dad, that's inconsistent. Why would you do that? Well, yeah, true. What am I going to do about it? There I am. And we need to do something about that. Not only will a wise man accept counsel, but he will with diligence seek to attain wisdom. Proverbs 4, verses 3 to 13 says, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee unto honor. When thou dost embrace her, she shall give thine head an ornament of grace, and crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O son, and receive my sayings, for the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in straight paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take hold of instruction, and let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. So wise men will seek wisdom. They will seek more instruction. They recognize of ourselves, we do not have enough. But we will continue to press on and look for something more. Wisdom also, it says, is full of mercy and good fruits. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Looking at the part of full of mercy and good fruit. Something is going to come out of our life when we apply our hearts to wisdom. Matthew chapter 18, I want to begin reading in verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would have taken account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down on his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, and went and cast him into prison, that he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw that was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their lord what was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou hast desired me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him unto his tormentors, till he should pay that which was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your own hearts forgive not every brother his trespasses. Wisdom is merciful. Wisdom will see the foolishness in me trying to extract the last thing of another's wrongdoing. Whenever I recognize it in my own heart, in my own life, there is so much stuff I have been forgiven. I have my own idiosyncrasies that everyone else around me has to put up with. And wisdom begins to see and understand that there is so much more that I can extend mercy and love to my brother and my friends and those around me because I also am a man, just like everyone else. Not only is wisdom full of mercy, but it's also full of good fruits. In Galatians 5, as read this morning, I think Roscoe read that this morning. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And it's interesting to think about that it says wisdom is full of mercy and good fruit. And the good fruit of the Spirit, actually three of those, is also in the same thing, the list of wisdom. It says about peace, long-suffering, which is mercy, and gentleness, or which is mercy, and gentleness is also in that list, but it said wisdom is gentle. And then full of goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So the list, they overlap. If we're going to be wise men, we will take the fruit of the, we will be producing the fruit of the Spirit. And the wisdom that is gentle and peaceable is just, it's all the same package. You can't separate it. In back to the what else is wisdom? Wisdom is also, it says, is without partiality. Wisdom is consistent. Wisdom will be consistent on calling out sin and living life. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. We have a story here where we have two men. And these men were both ferrymen. These men both did a lot of right things. But Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, this is Paul writing, But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, which did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, then why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So we have Paul walking into a situation, and you think about it, you had three men that were, we would call in our circles of power and substance. I mean, you had Peter and Paul and Barnabas. And the Bible speaks well. All these men were pillars in the truth. But wisdom without partiality is willing to call it for what it is. And Paul walked up and withstood Peter to the face and says, Here's a problem. You are playing both sides of a coin that can't happen. If you're gonna eat with the Gentiles and then act like whenever certain people are around you, we're gonna do differently, it doesn't work. So wisdom without partiality, we must be consistent. We must understand that the example we give to those around us must be consistent. And there will be times that we look one way or we may look the other way, but the life we live should be consistent. If we are doing whatever to the, whatever those around us are doing to be people pleasers, we have no foundation and cannot expect to leave anything for those who are behind of us. Because we are nothing more than people pleasers, we will back and forth whichever way it goes. Wisdom without partiality also respects each person can be equal in Christ. The world we live in looks at material wealth of individuals and looks at the material wealth of individuals to discern how to treat them. Turn over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor, do not rich men oppress you and draw you before judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, that ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Basically, this explains that in the world we live in, there is certain, and we can watch it if we follow the news, you see it, that there's people of power and prestige that are somewhat untouchable. And it is saying, if we have wisdom without partiality, if we have godly wisdom, we can understand in the church, power or prestige and wealth does nothing. There is times that the poor is right and the wealthy is wrong. There is times that there is wisdom that is brought from the poor. Whenever money begins to affect the outlook we have on people and their church, in church. We appreciate wisdom without partiality will bring all people together. And then the last thing it says, wisdom without hypocrisy. Wisdom without hypocrisy, this is one I thought I was trying to bring together on how you can have hypocritical wisdom. What is hypocritical wisdom? Hypocrites is pretty easy to think about. It's one thing, it's saying one thing and doing the opposite or doing another. Wisdom without hypocrisy is living by what we proclaim to others. Giving advice we are not willing to live by is hypocrisy. If we are telling someone else, okay, let's just break this thing down into something very simple. And I think about how many times maybe we as men can identify with this or not. But if we break this, if we are out telling everyone that credit card debt is bad, but we have endless amounts ourselves, that's wisdom with hypocrisy. Because the statement's wisdom, that's true. But the workman better be the first partaker of the fruit. Wisdom without hypocrisy is something that we can have advice, but if we're not willing to live the advice we have, we're just empty bags. We have nothing to offer. And we also do well to remember that the best wisdom is wisdom from God that comes through real life experiences. And I found this interesting. Because I know how many times whenever I need to find out something that I don't know about, I just Google it. Yeah, it works out pretty easy. You can ask about anything and you get about any answer. But if, as of yesterday morning, and probably are soon going to change this because it's getting to be kind of embarrassing. As of yesterday morning, if you Google how to spell Oreo backward, it'll tell you that it's a palindrome. A palindrome. And a palindrome is a word that can be spelled the same both ways. And I think we could ask, a fourth grader here how to spell Oreo, and they would tell you it's O-R-E-O. But if you ask Google how to spell it backward, it says it's O-R-E-O, when actually it would be O-E-R-O. So if Google can't figure that out, are we really going to hang everything we don't know on that? That's pretty simple. It's four letters. It is wiser to listen to an elder around us who has seen many things than some new age advice. So many times in life when we have a problem, it's easier, maybe just figure this out ourselves. Or let's look around to someone, I just don't want to trust someone that I know that's older than me that can actually tell me the truth. Maybe I can figure out some information that's easier for me, I want to accept better. But wisdom without hypocrisy is allowing wisdom to enter our lives from sources we trust, people we trust, men of God, men that have lived lives, men that have seen many more things that I have seen. And maybe they haven't lived the exact circumstance I have, but by them using the wisdom that they have attained over the years, they can assemble it and I can accept it. And lastly, wisdom without hypocrisy. I think it's important that we recognize that we may not know whether we're a wise man or not. The testimony of a wise man is a testimony that is given to someone. If we are a wise man, we may never know about it, and we may never be told. Because we know, a wise man knows that there's a lot he doesn't know. And when he understands how much he doesn't know, he's very slow to flaunt what he does know. Because the world is so big. Wisdom, a wise man is a title that will be given to someone possibly after they're dead. That was a wise man. Or someone made a wise choice, but it's not something I'm out telling about myself. That, well, I think I got wisdom in this subject. Well, I actually don't. I don't know. I may have some understanding, but there's so much I don't know. If we as men are open our hearts to the wisdom of God, we can be filled today like Solomon was of old. And since we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we can be given wisdom beyond our years. There's young people I know of, younger than myself, that have seen circumstances and experiences in life that I have not seen. And they can give me wisdom that I have no idea, I don't know. And I value that. So it's not all about age, but there's times of people that with the Holy Spirit dwelling in people, with the Holy Spirit being part, young people can be given wisdom that are beyond their age. But let us live wisely and keep pressing on closer to God and be like Paul wrote in Philippians 3, verses 12 to 14, not as though already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, pressing, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is wisdom. Let's kneel for prayer.